Good morning, folks. Ring in a little bit here. Thank you. Please open with me to Acts chapter 16. This morning we'll look at verses 16 through 24. Paul and Silas are on their second missionary journey now. They have Timothy with them, as we saw last week. They've been going around and they've been finding places to pray where there weren't any synagogues. And they have quite a supernatural encounter this morning as they go about their work of ministry. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. As we were going about the place to pray, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. This is God's word. Next week, we'll see what happens when they are in prison itself. But these are all the events leading up to why they were thrown in prison, unjustly thrown in prison. They are declared by this young girl here, but the truth is spoken. And we see what they really are, and that they are servants of the Most High God. Paul and Silas are obeying God. God had sent them forth to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. Just as God has sent us forth. Now, they were sent forth in a very specific way. But we are all sent forth to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who do not yet know him. There are so many who do not know, so many who it may seem difficult for many of us to understand because of the environment in which we live and move and have our being within Christian circles. But there are so many people, the vast majority of people, even in our community, do not know the gospel. They do not understand who Jesus is. They do not understand the good news of salvation that Jesus offers through faith in him. The first thing that happens in our passage this morning is that Paul and Silas meet a slave girl in verse 16 and 17. And I want us to notice that at first, that this girl is a slave. She is owned. We see evil even happening and dwelling here, way back here in the first century. She was owned by other people. And these people, as we'll see later on, they do not care for her. They do not give a rip about her as a human being, as a creature created in the image of God. They care only about her for money. to earn them money. We see that evil does exist right under our very noses at times, that there are still systems of injustice and there are cases of injustice that exist around us all the time, even in places of freedom in America. We know that there is enormous amounts of slavery that still happens even in America, a lot of it having to do with human trafficking and of a sexual nature or slave labor that happens. And a lot of it happens right under our eyes. And there are many wonderful organizations we've worked in the past with, Rhea House, who really helps to bring people out of enslavement and back into a life, a thriving life. And it's important for us to realize that there are people who are still enslaved around us today. Help us to make choices about our purchases and help us to make choices about fighting for justice and advocating for those who cannot advocate for themselves. The scripture says in verse 16 that she had a spirit of divination that brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. So there's something going on here in the spiritual world, and that's the next thing I want us to realize, is there is a spiritual world that exists around us. We so often don't think about it. I think particularly as people growing up in a Western culture, we tend not to think much about a spiritual world that is around us. We focus so much on the physical world that is around us. But the scripture declares that there is a spiritual world, that there are angels and there are demons around us, and there are evil spirits, and there are spirits of God, the Spirit of God and His servants that are at work around us. And much of this is a mystery. Much of it is a mystery. It's not the kind of thing, I believe, where we can really, you know, determine very, very clearly exactly what's going on here. This is such a fascinating example to me. Clearly, this is a spirit that's not of God. Paul casts the spirit out in a few moments here. And yet, the spirit, at this moment, speaks the truth of who Paul and Silas are, saying that they are servants of the Most High, and that they proclaim the way of salvation. Isn't that so fascinating that a spirit here who is not of God is shouting forth the truth? It's a bit of a mystery how this all works here, how this spirit works, that sometimes even the evil spirits are underneath the sovereignty of God. And we see God at times use evil spirits to declare things that are true, that He will use them, that sometimes the demons even, it says, they believe and they fear. Sometimes they have understanding. And we see this young girl calling out that they are servants, of the Most High God, and they are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Now, she goes about doing this for many days. And eventually, Paul gets tired of it, and Paul casts out this demon, that this spirit that is within her in verse 18. It says, she kept on doing this for many days. Paul, and I get a bit of a kick out of this, but it says Paul became annoyed. Paul became annoyed and frustrated by this girl coming around behind him all the time saying, these guys are preaching salvation. They're telling us about God. Yep, that's what they're doing. Isn't it interesting? You know, she's saying something that's true, and you might think maybe she's even like advertising for them. But no, it was an annoyance to Paul. And Paul has had enough and doesn't want her to speak this anymore. Paul is telling her, is wanting her to stop. It's just interesting that it's through annoyance that he speaks. Yes, Malin. That's correct, yes. Jesus also silenced spirits, yes. That's correct. Tell them to be silent and not to speak anymore. And here we have again, he's frustrated. It's just interesting sometimes that we can get frustrated. And here he is annoyed and he acts in his annoyance here. And he turns and he says to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it says it came out of her that very hour, meaning immediately. When it says in that very hour, means that immediately the spirit came out. Now we must also call out what is obvious here, and that it's not by Paul's power that the spirit was cast out. We see here the power of God. God's power is at work. Paul is merely a vessel. He is merely a servant. He is merely one who is following God and obeying God. The Holy Spirit rests upon him, and God has called him and equipped him with spiritual gifts that do have the supernatural involved. We saw that Paul speaks in tongues and heals people, and so God does work through Paul. But it's only working through him. It is God's power. The Spirit is subject to the power of God. So much of our storytelling has good versus evil in it. But a lot of times they're positioned as two co-equal powers, that there's a balance between good and evil, like a yin and a yang, in a sense. And that is not reality. That is not the scriptures. God is sovereign. God is all powerful. Remember in the book of Job, for Satan even to come and affect Job and touch Job in any way, he needs to have permission from God. God has to allow it. God even actually leads him into it and says, consider my servant Job. It is all done under God's sovereign hand, under God's power. Yes, the spiritual world is real. Yes, this evil spirit is real. And we must not forget that. That we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. But we do not battle in weakness. That it is by God's power that we stand. That we stand against the forces of evil. It is by God's power that we are victorious against the powers of evil. Well, this causes quite a stir, the casting out of this spirit. It leads to Paul and Silas being beaten in verses 19 through 22. 19 says, when the slave girl's owners, again reminding us that she is a slave and that they are considered owners, evil men, evil people here, who are exploiting her for financial gain. And when they see that their hope of gain is gone, they become furious. They seize Paul. They seize Silas, and they drag him to the marketplace in front of the rulers. And then they start to make things up. They start to say that they're disturbing our city. Say that they're teaching things that are against our practices, that are against the law in Rome. And that's not true either. They stir up the rulers, they stir up the magistrates, and they stir up the crowd also. The crowd wants to get involved in this. And they are beaten. It says that they take rods and they inflict many blows upon them. They are beaten with rods. They strip off their garments and they beat them. And this is hard for us to imagine, and also important for us to remember that Paul and Silas did nothing wrong. This suffering that they are experiencing now is not because they sinned. They're following God's will. They're doing what God calls them to do over what man calls them to do. And it leads to suffering. It leads to their physical abuse in this case. And finally, in the last part of our passage, eventually Paul and Silas are thrown in jail. It's so unjust. Now, to us, it sounds maybe a little bit romantic because it sounds like a story, and if you know what happens in the next passage, then there's a lot more power of God that is going to come about that we are going to see as God is at work here to rescue Paul and Silas. But can you imagine how they must have felt? Can you imagine the difficulty that it must have been? Here you are following God, and following God leads you to being beaten and imprisoned. Now, we will see next week how Paul and Silas respond. I would say they respond much better than I probably would. But they are following God's will. And in that, they are trusting in God's power. So interesting, they had just seen God's power at work in casting out the spirit. And yet God did not choose in his power to shield Paul and Silas from the suffering that they experienced. It happens within a few minutes of each other. And both are done under God's will. The jailer is ordered to keep them safely, and he listens to this order in verse 24. He puts them into the inner prison, not just on the outside, but inside. So multiple locked doors that they would have to get out through for freedom. And he fastens their feet in stocks so that there's no way that they can leave. The power of God has been at work, and yet God in this moment, for now, is choosing not to exert his power to shield Paul and Silas. What do we believe about God's power? As I mentioned, I believe we're so focused on the physical world that we forget that we live in a spiritual world also. That there is a spiritual world all around us. That throughout our day and our week and our month and our year, we will encounter the spiritual world. And it's not clear how it all functions. There's mystery in it. We're not told exactly how it all functions so that we have formulas for the spiritual world that we can calculate out on mathematical equations or things like that. But we know that it's real, and we are encouraged to be mindful of the spiritual world that is around us. And in doing so, to trust in the power of God. He may not operate in the ways that we expect. He may not operate in the ways that we pray for in that moment. But we can and must trust that the power of God is at work in our lives now and at all times, seen and unseen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are all-powerful, that the entire universe fits within your hands, O Lord God, that you say and you declare that we are in your hands and nothing can take us away, O God. that you declare that there is no power. There is no power that can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, O Lord God, from us. That because of Christ, we are eternally yours. We thank you, God, for your power that is at work at this very moment in our lives. And pray, O God, that we would trust in you and in your power, and that we would see your power at work, defeating the evil one. We pray, Father, for your power to be at work to enable us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people we will encounter this week, O God. May we share the good news of Christ with those who do not know you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.